Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We're the word association.
Heard
the implication.
Dessert evaluation.
The word
association.
We're the word
association.
And we heard
the implication.
Dessert
evaluation.
We're the word
association.
As they say in Old Perry, ooh la la, welcome to another episode of the Word Association, or TWA. Brett, you're shaking your head. No, what?
just not the way I wanted to start this episode.
We're trying to appeal to international listeners.
Well, I mean, is that true?
Do you remember, what was the fucking ice cream? Vienna?
Oh.
Was there an ice cream called Vienna?
Oh, that
was,
yes. Like, it had like pieces of chocolate in it or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
it was decadent.
That's still a thing. It's like a cake, right?
It's still around.
No,
I just remember.
This is my memory from a long time ago, but I definitely bought it because I was completely suckered in by.
We're all men of a certain age, and I feel like maybe.
I like the Billy Joel song Vienna.
And I'll just say, sidebar, Men of a Certain Age was a fantastic show that should never have been canceled. It was really good.
But I just remember the commercials for Vienna and me being 11 to 12 and being like, that looks like the best thing in the world. And then my parents being like, that's like $14. We can't afford that.
I remember that age, and that's when I had it. And yeah, it was just the pieces of chocolate. I can't.
Vienna waits for you, though. So just, you know, it'll come back around.
I mean,
one day
Vienna's
you'll
good.
Realize.
Downeaster Lux is much better. So hi, everyone. I'm Adar Fai. We're here with Brett Lyons and Rob White as well. We're your three hosts. And what we're going to be doing is, if you haven't listened to podcasts before, we each bring a word to the table, and then we sort of play with that word, we extrapolate, we word associate, we have stories, monologues, and we see what comes out the other end. We put the meat in one end and the sausage comes out the other. Is that right?
You know, you could have just left it. We all kind of understood like the process, but like you had to put a little tip of the cap as to how
Well, I have
poop
a hat
works.
On a hat. You think that's how poop works?
Hey, you put the meat in one end and the sausage comes out the other end.
Wait a minute. This might be brilliant. Is poop sausage?
It can be.
Okay. It's hot dog a sandwich.
You gotta line your toilet with casing. It's tough. It's tough. Or you just poop directly into a lamb's mouth.
Oh boy. It's a never ending cycle, a vicious cycle, some would say.
It is, yes.
Well, speaking of pooping into a lamb's mouth, we'll go ahead and start off with myself, Adar Fai. And, well, wait, hold on. Before we start, there's been a lot of changes since we last chatted. Right?
Yeah, agreed. Yes.
Brett, you are now in a new city in the great USA. What city are you in?
I live in Cincinnati, Ohio now.
Wow.
It's a 4.5 hour drive from Chicago.
We're talking chili. We're talking.
Haven't had it. Yeah. Skyline chili is a very popular thing here.
What is Cincinnati known for?
Frisch's
Have you been to
Big
a Reds
Boy?
Game?
Frisch's Big Boy is
Frisch's
another.
Big Boy? Is
wait,
that like
not
the
Bob's
Frisch's?
Big Boy? Or?
Is that the guy with the hamburger?
It is. Yes.
Okay. But they call it Frisch's?
Frisch's.
Frisch's.
F-R-I-E-S-H, I think.
Was it like one guy saved a couple of the franchises?
I don't know. It's but that's the mascot is the Big Boy.
So without looking it up, is it that there was like a man and woman named Frisch, their last name was Frisch, and they had a son who was like, came out of the womb, 4'7", 325.
I mean, you hope
wearing
so.
Wearing checkered overalls, holding
a burger. That woman, honestly, the woman
only ate hamburgers and milkshakes right away. That's all he would eat.
He won't latch on. Sweetie, try a milkshake. Serve him a smash burger. Maybe that's what he wants.
I haven't been there yet, so I don't even know. I don't know if it is the same stuff as a regular Big Boy.
I don't know if I've ever been to a Big Boy. I just know them culturally.
I've been to one before.
Okay.
That's about it.
You ever been to a brown derby or a round mound?
I've been to a round
round. Round?
Yeah, ground
you
round.
You mean ground round?
Ground round. What did
oh,
I say?
Okay. Round mound.
You said round mound. Well, talk about a popular Friday night.
I'm stuck on that kid coming out of his mom, that 4'7", 325.
He exploded. Kid. She literally disintegrated in the hospital.
Ponderosa? You don't see a lot of Ponderosas anymore?
You don't. I was
kind of a big boy, and I would go to Ground Round, and that was part of my problem. Was they had that.
Yeah.
They always have baskets of popcorn, so I'd eat baskets of popcorn. I would get mozzarella sticks as an appetizer, and something else. They also pay what you weigh.
Ooh.
Kids.
They have what?
Kids, okay.
There was like one night a week, it was pay what you weigh. So if you weighed like 90 pounds, your meal would be 90 cents or something.
Oh,
you did have to
Lord.
Step on a scale, but I don't know. These days, I don't think you could probably not do that.
I don't think
there's some shaming
that.
There.
I was going to say, pay what you weigh. Sir, your meal is $210. I'm like, oh,
no.
Fuck.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was for kids. It was like a dollar. It was, No, that would be.
All I had was chicken breast.
Well, too
you
bad.
You shouldn't have gone with the pay today, what you weigh sir, option.
That's all you
if
had
if you don't
today.
Pay at Ground Round, if you don't pay at Ground Round, then you go to Pound Town, and it's, I was, you don't want to go there.
Which is what Mario does. Ground Pound. Ground Pound Town.
What's your word? Yeah, Adel, what's your word?
Fucking, I'm sorry, everyone. My word today is, and it's based on what happened to me, Gemma and I, my wife Gemma and I, we are fostering three kittens, and the kittens today scratched the shit out of me, so my arms are all janked up. So my word today is scratch, and it appealed to me because I feel like it's very elastic. There's a lot of uses for it.
Yeah.
You can scratch an itch. You can scratch yourself. Scratch is money. Old scratch, I think, is a term for the devil from olden days. Scratch Skrilla. DJ Scratch. It's just a fun little word.
It is fun. Yeah. I mean, I'm immediately thinking of the lottery tickets because I used to buy.
Oh yeah, scratch.
Not
oh,
a
yeah,
big scratch problem, but I had kind of a problem. For a while.
So to scratch your gambling itch, you buy a scratch off to win some scratch. That's kind of a fun little thing.
And then when you lose, it's a real itch.
I would say my first job when I was working downtown, it probably wasn't the best circumstances for the people who I was working around. They were they were drinkers and they were gamblers. So definitely I remember just like buying scratch off tickets like on lunch break, like and buying like those like $20 or $30 ones.
Oh man! It is. Five. I felt was extravagant. I've never gotten above five.
You don't
five.
Win money. You gotta go. Win
I know
big
I don't win money, but
you gotta pay big to win big.
What's the most you ever won?
I won $1,000 one time.
Oh wow!
It was one where it was one of those ones where it was like it was 10 lines, and I won every single line for $100. Like it was one of those like you keep scratching, you keep winning, and you're like, oh no, I think this is you win everything on this one.
That's a danger. It's a slippery slope and a dangerous mentality because I feel like the people I know who do scratch offs, they'll spend $50. They'll buy $50 of $1 tickets. Yeah. They'll win $18 and they're like, yeah, baby, daddy's a winner. And it's like, no.
Or they'll put that $18 right back in.
And they'll keep going until it's all gone.
I think you can buy scratch offs on the Illinois Lottery web app now.
I can confirm about a year ago I downloaded the app and I did that for like a couple of weeks and I was like, I've got to stop. Because they now have instant games where that is what that is. Yeah. You just pay a dollar and you lose
that's
it right
shady.
Away.
That's it's, super shady yeah. to be
but
like,
do you scratch off with your finger on your phone?
Yeah, you like touch it or whatever
oh,
to remove
that's
certain
so
things.
Bad.
It's so bad. Because you can lose so fast and spend money. I mean, again, when I $10. It's not like I'm going crazy, yeah, but I do sure. rapid. I did like rapidly lose $10, and then.
And for listeners, Rob is recording from a cardboard box in the rain.
If you see my family, tell them.
tell them
Daddy
them.
Made a mistake, and he knows that now, and he's ready to come home.
But he feels like he's got a hot streak coming up. Yeah. I'm gonna turn this $20 into $200.
A friend of mine has a hot tip on a horse in the fifth race.
That's so the name Anna, of the would, horse.
Yeah. Anna, would you go as far to say this, you and your wife both have cat scratch fever?
I would, but I associate that song in term with Ted Nugent, and I want to stay as far away from him as possible.
100%.
That's fair.
100%. Yeah.
Because he seems insane. Yeah.
What's this? What is the itchiest you've ever been?
Because
I think that's one of the worst things.
Yes.
Oh, big time. Big time.
I feel like when I was in junior high, my friends and I went to like a local like carnival. I don't even know the term, like a flea market, but it's like part a of a fair. Carnival or
like a fair.
Fair.
A fair.
Yeah, fun like fair. A fun fair.
A fair
and
to
there
remember.
There's like, there's a little booth. Yeah, I fucked my friend's wives when I was 12. It's a wild time. Different time. But there was a table set up with all sorts of like, do you remember like those snap pops where you throw like the little twisted pieces of paper with gunpowder and they pop on the concrete?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like black cats and snap pops and sparklers, all this stuff. And they had itching powder, which I believe, unless I'm incorrect, I believe it's like fiberglass. It's basically what they're selling. It's fiberglass in a box. So when you put that down the back of someone's shirt, your skin absorbs the fiberglass and it becomes like unbearably itchy.
Oh.
So I remember my friends and I bought a bunch of boxes of that. And then over the course of the whole summer, we would just keep putting it down each other's like collars, shirt collars. God. And there was a time when someone dumped a box down the back of my shirt and it was just like for several hours, it was just like scratching myself raw.
Yeah, that's
it's
awful.
So awful. Very painful.
Yeah. I mean, I have eczema, so it's just been my life. So
okay.
I've never been like overly itchy, but there was one time where like I had allergic reaction to something and like my back was just uncontrollably itchy and like I couldn't get to it. So like I didn't even go to school. Like I couldn't like it was just like I was just so like
were you like a bear in the like a bear on a tree?
A little bit, yeah. It was
the
just really
bear?
It was really weird.
One time I was a little kid, I was in like North Carolina at the beach on vacation. It was like the last night before we drove from Pittsburgh, North Carolina. It was like 12. I forget how long. It was a long car ride in a station wagon, I remember. But that night we were playing on the beach and it was nighttime, you know, and I don't like bugs or many things like that. And there were like, you know, the crabs that come out, the little sand crabs, like at nighttime and they're all over the beach.
You don't like bugs or many things like that. What else are you talking about?
You know, so like
bugs
and crabs, or like any kind of little. Do you remember you made me? Remember you had me? We went to have crawfish the one time, and I had like the hardest time picking one up. I just didn't even want to touch it. You know,
yeah, I gotcha.
We were
mud bugs.
We were like my brother and I were making it like a sandcastle or something, and I remember it was windy, and I kept like my legs, and my arms were like stinging, and I was like, "Geez, the sand is really like I'm getting like it's like kind of hurts." Anyway, I woke up the next morning and I realized that wasn't sand. I got bit like 100 times by mosquito. I was just getting, covered, covered in mosquito bites.
Sand
and
fleas too. I'll get you
home,
too.
I was in the back of a station wagon, just like I was miserable. Dude, my arms, legs, back, it was all over my body.
Ugh, man,
terrible.
That was terrible
ugh, thing.
Yeah. Oh no.
Do you so Brett? You're allergic to tree nuts.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Anything else?
I technically everything. Technically, I'm allergic to trees, like trees,
love,
pollen, grass.
Yeah.
For like, what, for 14 or 15 years, every Saturday I would get 4 shots in each of my arms to like combat how bad my allergies were growing up.
Shots.
Everybody. But yeah.
I remember you used to carry around, do you still carry around an EpiPen?
I don't carry around it. I should. I just am insanely careful.
Nice. What a little bad boy. That's what they'll say at your funeral. Yeah. What a little bad boy who died.
If only this bad boy would have carried an EpiPen with him. I refuse. Like, I'm the person, I refuse to eat anything unless someone can tell me what the ingredient list is.
Well, maybe.
Like, I'm never a person that's like, here, try this. I'm like, won't do it.
Like,
not going to happen.
8 or 10 years ago, didn't you eat over by Second City? You ate like soup and it had something in it.
Yeah, I ate it. Fresh
and
Choice,
it was real bad.
Which is now out of business, thank God.
Wait, what was it called?
It was a vegan Fresh Choice.
Choice.
Oh, Fresh Choice.
I think it was on Wells.
They had a soup. They had a tomato bisque that they did not advertise had a cashew base to it.
Oh, you don't assume a cashew base on a tomato soup.
That's what I thought.
A lot of campaigns have a cashew base. No longer grassroots. You assume grassroots, but it's cashew.
But I think because it was boiled down or whatever.
Yeah.
I only had I had food poisoning, result of it. Yeah.
When you ever accidentally have any sort of tree nuts or anything, is it itchy? Like, does your throat swell, or like, what's the process in terms of like you slowly dying?
My throat closes and I stop breathing.
Is it itchy or is it just?
No, I just stop. Okay.
I feel like at that point, is the itch the problem? Your throat's closed. Yeah. You're like, yeah. And I'm itchy.
God damn it.
I'm
damn
itchy
it.
Too.
Son of a gun.
Sarge, my neck is all wet. You've been shot in the throat. Yeah, my neck's so wet. It's very weird. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I probably haven't. I haven't had a nut issue, knock on wood, in
Brag.
Probably.
Yeah, I was just.
Yeah, basically, I do no nut months, basically, like no nut November. Right. I'll do a lot. And
I saw the smile. Yeah. Okay, he's deliberately okay.
My wife always said it's no nut November. And so I'm just not allowed to. I sleep in my own little tiny bed. It's fun.
Robert, are you allergic to anything?
Comedy?
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. Shots fired.
That would be funny to be, you're on stage doing a scene in World News or something, and it's going so poorly, you take out an EpiPen and jam it into your pants.
And then you're immediately funny. Then you're instantly funny.
I had one of those allergy tests. Does everyone get those where it's like they put it on your back and see?
Yeah,
there's like 90 TV needles
test.
Or something.
TV
yeah,
test.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think I was only allergic to pollen and maybe like Benadryl slightly or something. But it's all very mild to
that sucks for it's, you, because if you have a pollen outbreak, I would tell you to take Benadryl.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that it's all super mild. But Rob, you're nothing?
I don't think. Yeah, I think when I was a kid, I had an allergy to penicillin, or at least that was on a medical record at some point, I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'm allergic to anything. I have seasonal allergies. But
mm-hmm. Do you take anything? You take like a Claritin or a Zyrtec?
Yeah, I like the Claritin Ready Tabs.
Yeah, those are nice.
The ones
those
that just nice. Dissolve. I don't very know that nice. They do much, but I just don't. Yeah, it's not effect. Bad. It's I do like maybe like 1 week out of the year I take them.
So I will say moving from Chicago to Cincinnati, my allergies have been outrageous here. Probably just because I'm just acclimating to the climate. But yeah,
do you think it's like different types of pollen, like different flowers and fauna and all that?
Flora and fauna? It might be. It just might be. It might be. Like a weird thing, like I've always lived close to the lake and water, and maybe that mm-hmm. has done something to the, you know, ecosystem in Chicago that's different here. But my eyes are like insanely like itchy and stuff like that if I don't like take eye drops in Cincinnati.
Is there any truth to it just being that you miss Chicago?
I was just going to say the same thing. Literally say the same exact thing.
Yeah, I mean,
since I moved here, my eyes have been very watery.
And they call it the 7-year itch. And,
my heart has shrunk. Before we move on from scratch, have you guys heard the term old scratch to refer to the devil?
Never.
No.
Never.
Old, no. I don't honestly want to say it.
How would you say it? Was it like... careful or old scratch will get you, or
basically, yeah, you just call them old scratch.
Old scratch is in the details.
Yeah, it's like old spice.
Old scratch wears Prada.
But it's something I think it comes from, like, you have an itch, like I want to sin, I want to gamble, I want to commit adultery, whatever it is. Like, you have an itch, and then the devil is the old scratch that provides relief when you succumb to your desires. But it's something where, I don't know if it's like from mostly literature or something from the 1800s, but anytime I hear the term, I always think of an old timey devil with like the horns and the tail and everything and a pitchfork. But then I always picture like a little fancy hat or something. For whatever reason, Old Scratch makes me think a little hat, like a pork pie cap.
Yeah.
It's like a the great devil's name. Tom Waits or something. Yeah.
It's a great name for the devil. Old Scratch is a great name.
Old Scratch is, yeah, I like it. I'm just going to start saying it pretty much all the time now.
Those kids in the woods are out there worshiping Old Scratch.
They're in bed with Old Scratch. when you talk about...
Old Scratch going down to Georgia.
Christianity or... When you talk about any religion, you think of the devil. It conjures up a specific image in my brain. But when you talk about like Robert Johnson, the blues player, where it's like right. he went to the crossroads and sold his right. soul to the devil.
Right.
That's when I picture old timey old Scratch. Like, so I don't know what, if it has to do with the South or what, but in my mind, I just compartmentalize different versions of the devil based on what the context is.
I just picture, I think I always picture
like
George Burns.
Oh, God, you devil.
Oh, great movie.
Great movie.
Like when Sudeikis played the devil on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I picture him a lot. And that is the guy with the red cape, like pitchfork. But
it's like a classic 1920s outfit
like
or something.
Wearing like a red suit. Like they're wearing like a red, like blood red suit. They're always comical to me.
Well, speaking of comical, Little Bready Boy, do you have a word for us?
I do have a word. And my word is resistance.
Ooh, futile.
Yeah, you think of a little bit of, obviously a lot of it is in Star Wars.
That's the only time I hear the word futile is at the end of that phrase. I never hear futile in any other context.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think of.
Because what is, I mean, I would never say like,
His shoes effort, are so futile.
Yeah, his effort is futile. You put in a futile effort. Oh, man. Yeah, it's true. I mean, that George Lucas, he just basically wrote made up stuff. So we don't even know if it's even right.
Yeah, resistance. But more in like force or like just the resistance of like rubber bands having.
Oh, yeah.
Resist. Or I guess maybe that's elasticity, but just like
the reason why I thought of it was I'm seeing Roger Waters in concert next week. And I saw him in Chicago a couple of years ago, and it's a great show. But that was during the Trump presidency. And so, like, he would do a lot of stuff, and he's very anti-Trump. And a lot of times he would just flash, like, resistance, you know, up on the screen and stuff like that. And my thinking
I don't think you have to say obviously, because I don't know if it is. I don't think it's obvious that musicians are against Trump.
Well, Ted Nugent. Well, true. But I was thinking in my head, I was like, okay, well, Chicago definitely was against Trump, but I'm now going to see the concert in Cincinnati where I think maybe views are slightly different. So I wonder,
think he's going to change his approach.
No. I know he's not going to change his approach. I just wonder like how people in the audience will react. Because in Chicago, everyone was like, yeah, this is awesome. Yeah, screw that guy.
I think Cincinnati will be cheered. They'll be like, keep playing The Wall.
Yeah, build it.
Pink Floyd has other songs.
Another brick. More bricks.
No. Oh, gosh darn it. Oh, I hope not.
You know, I always like every one of those movies, and I'll take it a step away from Star Wars because that's my preference. But like anytime I see a movie where like there's a, I just don't want to be part of a risk. I feel like I would have to be part of, I would just prefer to not, but then if you're not, then you have to suffer. I don't want to fight for something. You know, I don't want to be like, let's go. Like, you know,
Do they call them the resistance?
La Resistance is on.
We're just hitting all of my favorite
musical, which is based on Les Mis. I agree because in Victor Hugo's Les Miserables, it is something where it's like they're so impassioned and so down with the resistance that they're clearly right. all going to die.
Right.
And it's like I like to think of myself as like an activist or like helpful right. or, you know, but same. But I think I'm more like I'll have a conversation with someone, I'll donate money, I'll donate my time.
I don't want to
die. I don't want to die.
I don't want like someone to like knock on my door and be like, hey, get your shovel. Right. Get your shovel. We're going downtown. Yeah.
Like if I heard Paul Revere, I would just kind of like shut my window.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd be if I was Paul Revere, I would just like talk shit about the British soldiers behind their back. But then to their face, I'd be like, hey, dudes, like I'd be kind of cold or passive aggressive. But I wouldn't be like, let's kill them. I'd be like, they're so much stronger than us.
I would be like, you know, the next day after we were conquered, I'd be like, did you guys not hear me? I swear.
Yes. I went to bed early.
Did I not?
I went to bed early.
I thought I was loud enough.
As you're being burned at the stake. Yeah. Hey, Kyle, did you not hear me? The Redcoats are here now.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
After you kill me, kill Kyle.
Yeah. Obviously very honorable to do that, but just,
That's tough. I'm a thinker. I'm not a fighter. You know, let's think of our way out of this before.
I think I'm an exister. I'd like to maintain that.
Yeah.
The streets were dirty, but he didn't want to help at all.
He was the Exister.
I can't think of the last. When was the last like resistance or like, I don't even want to call it a protest because that's not the same.
Well, the Occupy,
when
was the last?
Well, that's Occupy Wall Street. Protests are different. Yeah.
Yeah. But when was the last in America, or I guess specifically in America, when was the last resistance where people were like laying their life down?
January 6.
Yeah. Well, mean, never mind.
I mean, a little bit. A little bit.
You're not wrong.
Even like going to like Demolition Man, like all the people living underground, I'd be like, I don't think I'd want to do that.
Oh yeah,
you know, they were resisting all the tech.
Yeah, but you know, they had bigger problems. They had Dennis Leary was in charge of that whole brigade, which was a little rough on them.
Fine.
I would not go against Wesley Snipes. He looks so cool.
Simon Says, baby, so cool, dude. Yeah. Simon Says, man. That's an underrated movie. That's a great movie.
So, Rob, you said you want to take Resistance away from Star Wars, so I'm going to bring it back to it.
Okay.
You're famously not into sci-fi or fantasy, but I do know at least one of your kids was very into Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett, and Darth Vader, right?
Yep.
So have you had to watch all the Star Wars Disney shows?
I've seen them all now. Yeah, I've seen all the Star Wars movies now. I hadn't seen...
Oh, nice. Did you see the last two?
I saw the...
Prequels?
The first prequel was the last one that I'd seen. So I have now seen the other ones, but then I saw the other three.
So you've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
How many are there total?
9?
Yeah, I've seen
technically them all. Main ones, and then there's three.
Yeah, I've seen the Adam Driver one. Yeah, I've seen them all now.
Okay.
And some of the Disney, just the Mandalore. She's moved away from that. So
okay. She's not into Baby Yoda anymore?
She loves Baby Yoda, but she hasn't watched Boba Fett. Right now, her biggest thing is Fool Us, the Penn and Teller show.
Oh, what a great show.
So we watch...
killer show. Yeah. That's a great show.
I love that your oldest kid has the taste of like a 38-year-old man.
Well, it's because of me.
Actually, we'll be watching Wheel of Fortune.
I mean, now my youngest, who's 3... I just showed him the dinosaurs. So yesterday he was hitting me and going, not the mama, not the mama, not the mama. And I'm like, of course, that's exactly what he's going to do. What did I think?
Yeah, what did he
immediately mimic that and was like, this is so fun. This baby hits his dad and says, not the mama.
I do love when he's working his first office job in 2048. I do love that he's going to be like, the dinosaurs, right? And people are going to be like, the creatures? And he's like, no, the early 90s sitcom? Yeah. People are going to be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, my kids' reference levels are going to be way off. Yeah.
I'm only showing my daughter King Richard and like Tiger Woods, Earl Woods documentaries.
And so. I'm only showing my daughter King Ralph. So that's where we are.
That's a great movie. Another good movie.
It's a great movie.
Another good one. Who's the woman in that?
I don't remember.
Who plays like his love interest?
I don't remember.
Oh, I can picture her face, and she's like a character actress, but I can't remember what else she's been in. But I do know the butler, it's some big British actor. I can't remember his name.
Not Michael Caine. It's
someone crazy where it's like British, basically like a British.
Like royalty, but like.
Yeah, George Clooney or something.
Huh.
Good movie.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah, it's fun to show them the old stuff, but yeah.
So, Rob, if you had your druthers, how would you fix Star Wars? Take it out of space and put it in. Like a little town?
It's just not for, like I don't know.
Put it in a little town.
I do like small town stuff, so that would be my first.
Yeah, put it in a little town. The Death Star is
Darth Vader
owns the
factory, and he's shutting it down, and everybody's geez.
Yeah, and they're not allowed to dance.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
I don't need to bring dancing into it, but
so Star Wars, but it's not in space, it's in a little town. We'll say a little town in Pennsylvania.
New York or Massachusetts too. Yeah. I'm familiar with Pennsylvania, but I like the
maybe
let's call the town Alderaan.
Yeah. Basically it's Allentown. And we'll say Darth Vader, instead of being like a giant space Jedi, it'll be like Gene Hackman in like a weird hat.
Yeah, he owns a coal mine.
I like Gene Hackman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. And then Paul Newman owns a little diner nearby, and he got fired from the factory and hates it. And then Michael Keaton's there as well.
I would definitely like to have Michael Keaton in there.
The problem is, if it's a small town, those Leia and Luke,
Princess Leidoff,
they're probably having sex together because it's a small town and they don't know their brother or sister, and they're probably going, They're probably going in hard. Well, I mean, you got to think.
If I'm writing this movie, I'm not going to have that happen.
You know, they had the space. You know, there was so much going on because space was happening. They're like, I feel like, we can't really focus on this relationship. If you're in a small town.
That's like a tough pitch.
They're going to go too far. They're going to go too far.
Well, it's a small town, guys. Like, can we cut this part? Like, well, it's a small town. It's inevitable. This really, I feel strongly that this has to stay in.
It has to
make sense. Yeah, it's not going
to
make sense.
The main character eats his own shit. What? It's a small town.
Okay. It's a small
town.
We'll
roll with it.
It's a small town.
No, I mean, it's one of those things where I understand. I think it's a good movie for, you know, I just don't like that genre. It doesn't. But that said, when I was a kid, I loved Crawl. So I did. It's not like I'm totally anti-fantasy. I did like Crawl.
Wow.
I hitched my wagon to the wrong.
I have no idea. What show is what? Crawl?
It was a movie.
Blade, where it's like a circular blade that they can throw and it goes around the world.
It's like the one guy has it or something. And I think Liam Neeson played something in it. It was like a fantasy thing. I don't know. I really liked that when I was a kid.
All right, I'm thinking of a bad horror movie where the guy comes down from like outer space and he does throw like a circular. I Come in Peace. Was there a movie called I Come in Peace? Yeah, it's called I Come in Peace, and like he says I come in peace, but then he throws like a circular saw.
That sounds like the title of a porno made during the Woodstock era.
Well,
hey man, I come in peace, man.
And he's just holding up the peace signs.
Oh, that's so bad. So bad.
I'd watch it.
10 out of 10 would smash that follow button.
So, Rob, you said you had the Crawl board game, and this is sort of blowing my mind because you're anti-fantasy, and to my knowledge, you're also anti-board game.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I had it because I don't think they had Crawl toys, so that was like the only Crawl merch. I don't know if they did have Crawl toys. I think my parents got it for me. I didn't play the game, but I had it. I don't know, but that, I for some reason, I really did like that movie, and I did watch I had Star Wars toys when I was a kid. And you know,
so do your kids want to play games with you? And you're just like, no,
We don't really play. I've played Candyland.
How'd you do?
I did all right.
Sounds like you lost to your kid.
You sound like a mafiosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did all right. Karma was had.
I'll play anything with them and do anything with them. I'm not going to, you know, there's no, I've watched all the Star Wars movies. I will do any of that stuff.
All right. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not to.
I can't. Yeah. I can't wait to.
Not
I need
to put
get
you on blast.
Yeah.
I was going to say, not to put you on blast, Rob, but I know for a fact that you watch My Little Pony, the musical, because you've sent me some of the songs and they're legit bangers.
Yeah, that movie. It was a movie. Well, I guess you could. I don't think it was called a musical. I think it was just My Little Pony, the movie.
Songs.
There were some songs in there. And that Danger Danger song is good.
There's
legitimately
there's
good. And I will admit to playing it in the car by myself.
Yeah, I watch a lot of Netflix Octonauts.
That's
a good show. That's a good show.
I've got all the toys.
You learn about that too.
I have all the toys. Yeah, you learn.
So I learn about different animals on that I didn't think about.
Yeah, you've got barnacles, the vegetables.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love. Oh, yeah.
I
was going to say, not knowing anything about this, is it astronauts who are octopi?
No. It's an animated show where they're trying to save the planet. Like
they're like sea explorers. Conservation. So they have
they're
like
conservationists. So like they.
But they help sea creatures.
Like the other day,
they
helped a pod of beluga whales that got stuck in the ice pack, and so they were breathing through a hole, and so they had to break the ice so they could get to the ocean.
Okay. The way you
and then they end with
beluga,
a song.
The way you said pod of beluga was like it was a ballet term.
Yeah, pod of beluga.
Toe heel toe pod of beluga.
Pot of beluga. I don't have time. I have a small child. I have to speak faster.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Go, go, go. Rob, what is your word you're bringing to the table today?
Well, I think I kind of had a peek behind the curtain there because the word I was going to bring was because I literally just watched two of these videos doing bedtime was that Fula show. So my word was going to be fool.
Mm.
Or is Wait, still fool.
What was
fool.
The show? What was the show you're watching?
That Fula's. I watch, yeah.
Oh, the Penn and Teller.
Yeah, they're like 8-minute clips of just, you know, one guy, one magician does the trick and then Penn and Teller will determine if they were fooled or not.
I have seen three magicians who were on that show. And for their show, they show the clip of them on Fool-Us fooling Penn and Teller, and then they didn't do the trick for the audience.
You watched them do the trick on video?
No, they just, yes, they like show, they're like, oh, you might know me, I was on Fool-Us, and they show like a little clip from it, and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. super cool, you're probably going to do the trick now, and they don't do the trick, and it's infuriating.
Yeah, you're like, I want to see the one that was so good that Penn and Teller didn't know.
Correct. I saw three guys, and they're like,
I don't
want to
see,
you
I bet Penn and Teller know every single thing you're doing right now.
A lot of magicians start their shows with like video montages of all their appearances in other places, and then they don't pay off like the cool tricks that got them to those places.
I don't think I've ever seen a, outside of like a birthday party, I don't think I've been to an actual magic show before.
I've been to, I'm going to say I've been to hundreds.
Lance Burton? He was okay. big in yeah, Vegas big. For a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Yeah, I know the name, sure.
I saw Penn and Teller in Vegas. That was very, very cool. I obviously worked on the cruise ship, so I saw a ton of magicians on the cruise ships. And then we went to the Magic Lounge a ton in Chicago before we moved.
Here's why I don't want to go, because I don't want to, I want to just like appreciate, I don't want to feel like I have to be like, ooh, you know, I just want to like, I mean, it's still very good, but I feel like there's more.
You don't
want
to have to celebrate someone's talent.
Especially if like they're, I would never want to be like a volunteer or anything, but if they come up and like, sir, can I be like, please, anybody else? Like, I would just be like, this guy talked to me before the show, everybody. I would just try to do that. I'd be like, no, I can't, you know, just like burn it. Like, look, I told you to move somewhere else, but I'm going to like, I just don't.
I'm magic blind. I don't.
You refuse to like, you refuse for a magician to come up to you and just help him out for a quick second. You get an Uber and you sit in the front seat and you're like, tell me about your life.
But I don't want to have to, I feel like there's an onus on me to then go, what? Like this big reaction and I don't want
to. No, you don't need to feel that way. If you're not amazed, it's okay.
I'm with Rob.
Yeah. It's exhausting. Fun. Magic is like, it's fun to, I mean, it's cool, but I just don't want to be there to have to have a reaction.
I'm going to coin, I don't know if I'm coining this, but I'm going to toss out a new phrase called reactionary exhaustion. And I feel that I have felt that several times in my life where it's like, I've gone to like see stand-up shows and my seats happen to be in the third row or something.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm not enjoying it, but I'm like, I have to let them know that I'm not an asshole. So I'm like, ha ha ha. And I do a big face of like, wee, because if you don't, what happens is I've also been in stand-up shows where they're like, has anybody ever da-da-da? And then it's like crickets and they're like, really? No one? Really? Or they'll tell a joke and they're like, no one? Not funny? Huh? Really? And it's like, you're supposed to make me laugh. I shouldn't have to fake laugh. Like I'm not related to you.
Well, and I also can, I just kind of quietly enjoy things. So I like going to stand-up and I'll laugh and I laugh and I'm enjoying it, but I might not be the biggest reactor, you know?
The only stand-up shows I've ever been to are like huge names. Like I saw Seinfeld and I saw like Robin Williams and stuff like that.
No, I'm not familiar.
I would never go to like a stand-up night someplace.
Open mic or something?
No, no way. I'm too uncomfortable.
Going to open mics, but again, I don't want to have to be like, I don't want my face to make or break their night where it's like, that guy wasn't laughing. Everyone, this asshole. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, either you made me laugh or you didn't. That doesn't mean you're not funny, but it's exhausting to have to like sort of feign this reaction that you know that they're looking for.
I won't feign reaction. I just won't react. But for me, I'm just incredibly uncomfortable the whole time. Because I just know right away if it's going poorly and then I can't handle it. I get so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Secondhand embarrassment.
I was just reminded, there was one time where I was working this temp, not, it was like an internship at a law firm when I briefly thought I was going to be a lawyer. And it was while I was in college and I would work until like 7 o'clock at night. So I would be gone. I would be in the office by myself. And I was listening to the radio and there was a question or something and nobody was getting it right. And I was like, oh wait, I think I know the answer. And I was like, man, what the hell? I just called in and I got the, and I, and like, hey, what's the, and I said the answer. The guy was like, you won, that you're right. And I was like, oh, okay. And the guy, the DJ was like, okay, man, so we're going to take that again. And can you just at least pretend to be excited that you won? And I was like, what do you want me?
Gaga, goy.
I know.
I agree. Know. Yes. Yeah.
Awooga.
Yeah. My wife and I, the thing we hate absolutely, absolutely the most is anyone comes out and they're like, how you doing, Chicago? And if everyone's like, yeah, and they're like, oh, you can do better than that,
you.
It drives me up
That's
a fucking wall.
Exhausting. Yes.
It drives
you
me
know what
up
drives
a
me up a wall.
Wall
worse? The noise meters at games that people think that they're real.
Are real?
Yeah. That I'm like, do you realize we could be silent and that thing would be doing the same thing?
It's
We're
a
not
graphic.
Affecting.
It's a preloaded
But it
graphic.
Works every time. It
of
works.
Course.
And I'm like,
you'd be better off with a guy on the field with his arm, you know, actually. Like, bring the mascot out and, like, gauging with his arm.
Do they think there's, like, a supercomputer that's gauging sound that's fed into this graphic?
And
like
100%.
It would be funny if they were like, we can't hear you, and, like, nobody's making noise, and then the game's over, and they're like, we spent $25 million on this state-of-the-art receptor. And no one is clapping or screaming.
David, what? Why did no one cheer for computer tonight?
Oh, the computer. Sir, we are sorry.
Was it my graphics? Did I do something?
I only want to bring them joy, but I need applause to feed the meter.
When not too long ago, when Gemma and I were married, we did our first look photos. And we're both of the mind of like, this is so silly. But the photographer was like, we got to have the first look. Like, it's traditional, da da da. Mm-hmm. So you stand here.
I saw it.
And
happen.
We were both.
Yeah, I saw it too.
We were both very like over it, where it's like, she tapped me on the shoulder and I turned around and was like, I made a joke of like wiping my eyes to be like, what? Oh. It's so embarrassing because it's like, what do you, I saw her less than 24 hours ago. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah. I've been living with her for 3 years.
I had the same exact thing. Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah.
But you've never seen her wear a white dress before.
They brought me up to this place and the photographer's like, so we go up to this balcony in Megan's parents have a condo like overlooking Lincoln Park. It's really cool. And like on the 40th mm-hmm. floor, there was this balcony. And the photographer's like, so we're going to go out here and take some pictures. I was like, okay, cool. And she's like, no, don't look. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, we're going to do a first look. I was like, what are we doing? And she's like, you're going to turn around and I'm going to capture your reaction. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And she was like, no, like, we have to. She's like, trust me, we just have to do it. I was like, I don't.
Do you know who I am? Like, whatever. I'm Rob White. I hate fun.
I was just like, look, I don't know what you want to get, but I promise what I'm going to do is not what you want. And I was like, she's like, please. I was like, okay, fine. So I'm like standing on my back there and and I was like, this is fucking stupid, you know? And I didn't realize Meg's mom was there. She's like, Rob, will you just do it? Even though you think it's fucking stupid. And I was like, okay, sorry.
She heard you say that?
Yeah, that's okay. It wasn't like, oh, she's heard me say the F word, you know, before. Yeah. But I remember I turned around. I was like, hey, who are you? Oh my gosh, I barely recognize you. What is it? And I was just like waving my arms around. Because like, I couldn't, there was not a sense, I could not sincerely do it. I couldn't do it.
Oh, it feels like, it feels
I see,
like
me,
first
me
look,
and Mary's was sincere. That's what's weird. You guys are
okay.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean,
no, there's
works,
nothing wrong with it.
No,
yeah, if it's for you, it's for you. But I'm just saying it was not for us.
No,
and it feels like something that's from an era of like either arranged marriages where it's like I turn around and see my bride for the first time ever.
Now, those are pictures I would love to see.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
That I would like buy a coffee table book of arranged marriage first look photos.
Yeah.
I would buy a coffee table book. That
like a guy opening a box from Russia.
Yeah.
It's like, I got this box from Russia.
Or from like olden days where it's like everyone was like a Depression era farmer. And then it's like, this is the one day where we can afford water to wash your skin. And so it's like, you look totally different.
The first look photos from the olden days are so boring because the dude like was like, all right, hold that pose for 12 hours while I paint it.
I will say she did look beautiful that day. It wasn't that.
Gemma looked beautiful.
Absolutely.
Turn around. That's totally fine if that's for you. First look sounds like a news show or something.
Yeah, it does. Have you ever been fooled by somebody? Not like a magic thing? Have you ever like fallen for something where you've really kicked yourself?
Yeah, so
I know I have 100%, but I'm
there's an old there's an old. So obviously, I was in the ticket business for a long time, and
it's not obvious.
Well, for you guys,
how would it be obvious you were in the ticket business?
I think you're using that word wrong.
I don't know.
You can probably tell by the sound of my voice that I was in the ticket
business. I obviously don't know. I forget that I'm talking to other people and not just you two.
Listen, obviously, I had a pork tenderloin for breakfast, obviously. And
I got a whole fucking pig roasted behind me, and clearly I hadn't pork for breakfast.
Obviously.
When I was younger, first starting out, there's a big scam where someone will come up to the window and they'll be like, hey, can I get change for or whatever? You know, give me change for a 20 or whatever. And when you're younger, you're like, oh, okay, whatever. And you take the 20 and you put it in your drawer and then you give them like two 10s back. And then they'll be like, hey, what are you doing? I gave you a 50. Like type of thing like that. And type and they try to like scan you out. So after that happened, so like, yeah, I gave a guy like change and he's like, I gave you a 50. And like all the money's in the drawer already. So then I learned my lesson, and then going forward for my entire life, if anyone pays me, I keep their payment on the table.
Smart.
So they can still see it, and then I give them the change from that before I ever, because like the minute you put you put it into the cash box, you have no idea what they actually gave you, unless you didn't have a 50 or 100 in your cash box.
Oh, it's like playing blackjack. You have to like tap the table to show
that a little bit, pretty much.
You can't like argue it.
Correct, yeah. So I've definitely been... Definitely,
and in ticketing, there's an orchestra pit boss.
There is an orchestra pit boss.
Hey, come on, Rob, laugh, please.
I did like
Rob,
that. Took me
laugh,
a second.
Please.
I did laugh.
I could have used a bigger laugh. That's a funny joke. We'll come on, bigger laugh, it, please. Let's go again.
Hate it so much.
You sound like a bird.
I don't remember. I feel like it's not a great, I just remember my first day at Denny's. Obviously, I worked there. I remember this lady was great. Her name was Ginny. She smoked Camel unfiltered cigarettes. And I used to have
she's dead from cancer.
Yeah, well, she was also probably mid to late 60s at that time. So
obviously, something. Obviously she's dead
but
now.
I'd have to bum those from her when I was low on cigarettes. That was always tough, but that's not the story. So my first day there, she was like, okay, I was a dishwasher, obviously. And she was like, okay, we're going to get started here. She goes, but before we do, you know, for like all the morning shifts, can you go get the flag out of the basement? We need to raise the flag. We do that every day.
The Denny's flag?
Okay. No, like the American flag, she was saying. But I was like, all right. So I'm walking around and I'm like, the bat all over, and I'm like, I walked up to her and she just started laughing and she's like, there's no basement. That was just like a little, but
oh, that's more you.
That's
got
a fun little haze.
Hazing. Yeah, that's
trusting, you know, and I'm very susceptible. If somebody confidently says something, I'm like, okay,
there's no basement at Denny's.
Everybody knows.
Pee-wee's Big
Everybody
Adventure.
Knows there's no basement at Denny's.
Who is the Jan Hooks?
Jan Hooks, yeah, correct. Yeah,
from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. There's no basement in the Alamo.
Maybe that's where she got it. Maybe that's where she got it.
I'm super susceptible, obviously. Susceptible, obviously.
Yeah, obviously susceptible.
But I don't know if I've ever been duped in like a grand way, I have, I don't know it. But I know that my mom always tells a story, and it's always like so embarrassing to be like, what the fuck were you thinking? Where when she was, I think when she was going into high school, when she's like a freshman in high school, the seniors or juniors or whoever did that thing where they're like, we're going to go snipe hunting. Have you ever heard of this? Snipe hunting?
Like, no.
They're like little fairies, like in the woods or something?
Yeah. So it's basically like,
wait, what?
I think it's like regional. It's regional what the term is, and it's regional what a snipe is or whatever they call it is.
Pre-Harry Potter days.
These aren't real things? Snipes are
these
not
aren't real.
Things? Okay.
So basically it's like, she grew up in like Galesburg, Knoxville, Illinois. But it's a thing where it's like, depending on the region you're in, they call it snipes or whatever else. And it's basically like a jackalope where it's like a non-existent creature. But they're like, meet us in the woods at 10 p.m., bring a pillowcase and a flashlight. And you have to, because you're a freshman, you have to catch a snipe and deliver it to us. Mm-hmm. And so basically they're like, what are snipes? And they're like, well, snipes are these little things that have the body of a raccoon and the head of a squirrel and the tail, you know, and the antlers or whatever it is. It's always different. Mm-hmm. But it's a thing of like, my mom fell for it. And I'm always so embarrassed of like, how are you presumably 14 and you don't know of a this animal that exists. Like, I could see if it was like a duckbill platypus or something. Like, pre-internet, I could see where it's like, if you saw certain animals, if you saw a Tasmanian devil, I could understand where you're like, what is this?
Right.
But to be like, these creatures have lived in your town your whole life and you've never seen
never encountered them, and how do you all you need is a flashlight and a pillowcase.
I've also famously been fooled many times by Jeff Griggs on April Fool's Day. I've fallen for many a fool on that April Fool's Day before.
What's the most epic one?
The most epic one was, well, I had about a 7-year time in my life where I'd never paid income taxes.
Obviously.
And so he set up his sister. His sister lived in Springfield, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And she called and left a message on my phone that she was the IRS, and they had sent the sheriff's department to take me off the boat because I was being audited for not paying taxes.
And it came from a Springfield number?
Yeah, it was from a Springfield number.
That's a good bit.
That's very good.
Good prank.
And I couldn't answer the phone because she called and left a voicemail because we were out at sea. But I got it the day we got into Miami in port. And I listened to that and I lost my mind because it was a great joke because I
that's great.
Had not paid my taxes in 7 years. So it was very believable that this could be real.
Whatever happened to all those back taxes? Speaking of Wesley Snipes. Wait, speaking of Snipes and Wesley Snipes,
right?
Tax,
wow,
it's all
how about
coming
that?
Together.
This is the word. Is
tell me about
right?
it.
Did you pay?
I've
them?
Joined the resistance, and I'm not paying any taxes.
I had an April Fool's joke one time because I would always do it to my mom. And this one time in college, I called her, and I'd maybe gotten a couple of underage drinkings in my time, and I called, and this would have been my third one at that point. And I called, and I was like, "Mom, you know, I'm so sorry." And she's like, "What?" I was like, "Last night I was at a party," and she's like, "No." And I was like, "The police came." I was like, "I got another underage drinking citation." And she was like, you know, what is wrong with you? She was like so upset. And then I was like, I'm kidding. That night I actually did get an underage drinking citation.
Well, that's on you. Yeah. You're not
I had to call her the next day. And it kind of made it better because we could at least laugh about that.
That's
but I literally got it that night. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
I think the rule is you're not allowed to prank anyone who could genuinely get you out of trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you can't prank your parents or like a rich uncle or whatever who could genuinely get you out of trouble.
Are you familiar with the tale of the boy who cried underage drinking?
Yeah. I wept 5 times total in my career. Yeah. No, but that,
and
yeah.
And then I got went to jail and the guy said, "I'll let you out, but you got to come in peace." And I was like, oh, boy.
Hey, man. I'm almost there.
Hey, man.
I'm going to climax, man. Oh, my rug, man. Well, you can always email us at twapod@gmail.com. Again, that's twapod@gmail.com. If you want to send us words to use or you have any stories involving
have you
the
been
words
scammed
we've used,
or fooled?
Have you been served? Are you being served? And email us there. Let us know any of your thoughts or any of your stories or any of your words you want. And until then, we will see you next time. Brett, is there anything you want to leave us with?
Well, you know, I thought about it and, you know, obviously, you know, sometimes we all have an itch to scratch and sometimes, you know, it scratches the wrong way and it leads you to be in the resistance. And then you find out at the end, you've just been fooled and it's January 7th and the FBI is calling you.
Bye-bye.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.